We are in Micah, the book of Micah, Micah chapter 4. We have several visitors today, so what I want to do is just give you a very brief setting of the story of Micah. Micah's talking to people today, or in his day, at about the time the country of Assyria, which was in northern Iraq today, it had taken over the 10 northern tribes of Israel. They went into captivity because of idolatry. And so they were taken captive. Micah witnessed that. That same people, the Assyrian people, under their king Sennacherib, had threatened to take over the southern kingdom. This was in the time of Hezekiah, King Hezekiah. This was also in the time of Isaiah. And Micah is speaking to a people at that time. Now, we've been studying Micah for quite a while, and the second and third chapters talk about judgment against three types of leaders in Israel: the prophets, priests, and the rulers, kings. Now, in chapter 4, Micah pivots from the destruction of Israel's former power, religious political power, to a new power, God's power. And the effect of that shift will be the righting of all wrongs. Who here looks forward to a day where there'll be justice in this world? All of us should be. Now, this is great news, because no matter what hardship or injustice, I'm getting some reverb, Glenn. I don't know what you can do about it. This is great news, because no matter what hardship or injustice you are facing right now, or maybe someone you know is facing, God has a bright future in store for you. And so we're going to study that today. Now, usually we invite people to stand for the reading of God's word, but Micah, these chapters are a little bit long, so we're kind of putting that in abeyance for till we get through this book. But let's read Micah 4 together. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and it shall be lifted up above the hills, and peoples shall flow to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall decide disputes for strong nations far away. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Verse 6 says, "In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame, and those who have been driven away, and those whom I have afflicted, and the lame I will make the remnant, and those who are cast off a strong nation. And the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from this time forth and forevermore. And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come, the former dominion shall come, kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. Now why do you cry aloud? Is there no king in you? Has your counselor perished, that pain seized you like a woman in labor? Writhe and groan, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor, for you shall go out from the city and dwell in the open country. You shall go to Babylon. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you from the hand of your enemies. Now many nations are assembled against you, saying, 'Let her be defiled, and let our eyes gaze upon Zion.' But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan, for he has gathered them as sheaves to the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make your horn iron, and I will make your hooves bronze. You shall beat in pieces many peoples, and shall devote their gain to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of the whole earth. This is the word. Oh, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Sorry about that. I have great news for you this morning. Though we live in what many call the post-Christian world, there is a powerful hunger for God's word. That's true. I read this week on Zenit, Zenit.org, about the increase in Bible sales in 2024 compared to 2023. While overall printed book sales in the United States rose a modest 1% in 2024, one category outpaced all others, and that is the Bible. 22% increase in the sales of physical Bibles compared to 2023. 13.7 million copies sold by October, up 9.7 million in 2019. And most of it among younger generations. Amy Simpson of Tyndale House Publishers attributes this spike to growing interest from Generation Z and college students for the Word of God. This generation is looking for something that feels more solid, she told the Wall Street Journal. The American Bible Society confirmed that this trend has continued into 2024. Beyond generational interest, the rise in Bible sales reflects a collective existential search. In other words, deep within a person, they sense that there is something more than what they see in this world. They seek reassurance and timeless wisdom, the article says. What writers at Zenit think is reassurance and timeless wisdom is actually something much more powerful. And that's God's law. His law. Not man's law, not rules and regulations that make your life harder, but God's law that flows out from him into all the world, solving all people's problems, providing sustenance and goodness for his people. And more importantly, causing transformation in their life to the tune that they turn away from their old way of living to him in worship and obedience. Now, aside from Bible sales being up, that's significant enough. But the Bible app, does anybody have the YouVersion Bible app on their phone or their tablet or their smart device? A couple of us? Some of us? It's been installed on 775 million devices. It's available in 65 languages, and according to my phone, there are 78 versions of the English Bible on the Bible app, free. All of it's free. All of those Bibles being sold or downloaded point to an undeniable fact that Micah talks about here in the fourth chapter. And that is this, and this is the main idea today, is that God's promise to this whole world is that his law would flow out from him and that the people of the earth would flow to him. What is his law about? Is it about don't kill, don't bear false witness? It's his word. It's his word that goes out. Now, the ultimate fulfillment of what Micah sees is the new heavens and the earth, a new earth, and we all look forward to experiencing that. But we see a measure of it right here and now. It seems to me, it's clear to me that God's word flows out from him and people are hungry for it and they turn to him. This truth which Micah preached so long ago, it has present day significance. And we respond to that. There's three ways that we respond to it. We respond in how we live our lives. This is all about God's word flowing out and people flowing into it. Our response to that reality is how we live our lives, how we wait for his return, and how we overcome in this life. So because of his word flowing out, people flowing in, that's a fact. Because of the certainty of that, we live our lives for him. Because of the certainty of our future with the Lord, we live our lives for him. We do this by meditating on what lies ahead, living out that truth, even as we deal with present day circumstances, anxieties, pressures, and so forth. So we meditate on what is to come. Can you all see that? Okay. Is it the font's kind of small, isn't it? Sorry about that. Well, we meditate on what is to come. In these verses, Micah turns on a dime from chapter 3, verse 12, which said, because of you, Zion will be plowed as a field. Jerusalem would become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. This is not terribly different than what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman in John 4. He told her that there was a time coming where you will neither worship on this mountain, Mount Gerizim, nor will you worship on Mount Zion or the Temple Mount. But there's a time coming where you will worship the Lord in spirit and truth. That's what Micah, he's talking about, a complete doing away of the old way of worship to this new way of worship. That's not only for one ethnic people, but for all of God's people around the world. We meditate on that. Now, what does it mean to meditate? Actually, I'm a little bit ahead of myself here. Okay, so he turns around and he elevates his mountain over all mountains. In the Old Testament, mountains are associated with worship. Gods and idols were worshipped on mountains and hills. Isaiah 65, 6 through 7 says, behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord. And what are those iniquities? They made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. That's what Isaiah, Micah's contemporary, said about mountains. There are places of worship. God, Micah says that his mountain will be higher than all other mountains. God is not equal to other forms of worship. That coexist bumper sticker is a lie. The cross is not equal to the crescent, not equal to the Star of David. It's not equal to any of these other things. The world would have you say to each his own. The world would have you say that whatever path you're on is the same as any other person's path. But it's simply not true. God's word goes out and people flow to it. People respond to it because of the power of his word. But the word of the Lord showed Micah a time when the worship of God would eclipse the worship of other idols. And this time would be marked with certain characteristics. The elevation of his worship. The outflow of his word. Nations flowing into it. As the nations flow into or towards his word, they desire his teaching. In other words, there will be a hunger not for what man has made of the Christian religion, but what God is all about through the gospel. The nations flowing in will desire to walk in his path. They will desire to be transformed by the word of God. We were studying this in Grace Path, our Sunday school class today. Back when we studied Jonah 1, if those of you who are with me when we studied Jonah, what Micah's talking about came out in vivid colors in Jonah chapter 1 when God was hurling this storm at this boat with the crew members. They were pagan crew members, and Jonah, who was a person of God but not following God, he was running from God, but that storm was so strong. And the people were seeking after their gods, trying to find an answer. They finally get to Jonah, and they figure out that Jonah, or they cast lots, lot falls on Jonah. They ask Jonah, where are you from? Jonah says, I am a Hebrew. I worship the God of heaven. And the people were scared. And they ask Jonah, what do we do? And Jonah says, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become quiet before you. They don't listen to Jonah. They try to row back to the land, and they can't do it because God is continually to pummel this boat because of the disobedience of Jonah. And finally, the people say, "Okay, God, we're gonna obey you. We're not sure. Please don't hold us account to this man's blood." And they threw him over, and immediately the water was clear and calm, and those people immediately turned from their worthless idols to God and worshiped him, called him his covenantal name, Yahweh. These are people who did not grow up knowing anything about God, But they realized that the God of heaven was more real than the vain idols that they were dealing with. Their life changed because they experienced God who revealed himself to them. What else happens? Supernatural justice worldwide. There's no shortage of injustice now. Political operators on both sides of the aisle, convinced of the injustice of the other side, seek to kill or silence the opposing side. It's true on both sides. But a time is coming when God will bring rightness and justice and prosperity to his people. They will no longer develop ways of hurting one another, but instead will be content with what God has given them. All of this comes about by God's own mouth, his own word. It was his mouth that spoke this world into existence, and it's by his mouth that the new heavens and the new earth will exist. This world that we live in now, it's so full of injustice, but there is an end to what is in front of us. And we are to meditate on the reality of that truth every single day of our lives. What does it mean to meditate? You ever meditate? I find it hard to meditate on Sundays. I've had a couple cups of coffee this morning, and I'm a little bit amped. I have a hard time meditating, but I'll tell you what it is. To meditate means to contemplate, to reflect, to muse, to ponder, to turn over in your mind. What sort of things do you contemplate from day to day? What sort of things turn over in your mind from day to day? Maybe you're worried about this country. Maybe you're worried about your Social Security. Maybe you're worried about your children and your grandchildren. I challenge you from this day forward to put your normal objects of contemplation and concern away from you and begin turning over in your mind the reality that millions and millions of people around this world in the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere, as well as the back alleys of Central Dubuque, are sensing a movement of the Holy Spirit that draws them to his word. I challenge you from this day forward to turn over in your mind how God can use Grace Point Church with the lampstand that he put in this church and he has maintained since 1890 as a signal for the good news of salvation in his name. Our future is not what some politician says about it. It's not what your financial advisor says about it. It's what God's word says it is. It's a bright future we are to live out as we deal with the present. The present is a real thing. We are to live out our future while dealing with the present. Micah says in verse 5, "For all the peoples walk each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever." Micah's vision of the future was clear, but his eye was also on the reality of the present. People in his time were not flocking in droves to God, just like it is here. Just saw the northern tribes completely taken by the Assyrians. The Assyrians were advancing southwards. He sees the idolatry in his own people, even among priests, rulers, and so-called prophets. What was to be done in the meantime, Micah is asking. Walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. That's for you and for me. We don't know how long the Lord is going to tarry before he returns for his church. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. But one thing you and I cannot do as we meditate on the reality of the light to come is to pretend that things are going to keep on going the way they are today, tomorrow, and the next day. You just can't and call yourself a genuine believer. You cannot call yourself a genuine Christian and think for a moment that life is going to keep on going the way it's always gone. We cannot pretend to be Christians on one hand and then live in fear because one person or one party is in power in one season or another in this life. If you do, your attention is on the here and now and you have an idol problem. You have an idolatry problem. But if you believe that God's law holds the final say and that his government is spreading and will continue to spread in this world, then you are to live out that reality in your life each and every single day. That means your job. That means your trip to the supermarket. That means your social life. That means your family interactions. If you're one way in this church and another way on social media or some other way in front of people, then you need to really take a close look in what you believe about the Lord. You need to take a closer look in what you believe about the Bible. There is no existence apart from Him. There is no you here and some other you out in the world if you call yourself a believer. Which brings me to my next point. Point number two. This is all because of the words, God's word going out and people flowing in. Because of the certainty of our future with the Lord, we wait for His return. This is hard. We all live in, most of us live in the Midwest. Patience is not something we do. But we do this with the knowledge that this life is short and we should have one eye on the present and the other eye on our future with the Lord. Our current circumstances have a very short shelf life. In verses 6 through 7, the word of the Lord to Micah is all about people, or all about God rescuing the broken and the scattered remnant of His people. Though this remnant was scattered and broken, they would not stay that way very long. Now, the word remnant is synonymous with the word scrap of something or a trace of something. In our house, we used to watch NCIS. We loved watching that show, you know. It's always a trace element of something that breaks open a case, right? You know what I'm talking about? It's always that one fingerprint. It's always that one piece of DNA that breaks open a case. Well, this is true because a person in Honolulu was released from prison last month after being wrongfully incarcerated 30 years, and they found out, the truth came out in a DNA because of newly emerging DNA evidence. That's how significant trace of something can be. A remnant of something can be. God promised Micah that the remnant of His people, which had been scattered by the terrible leadership in his country, as well as other nations taking His people captive, would again be gathered to Him, made a nation. And this would happen in a very short time frame. In the short run, this was 70 years of captivity. But when God's people came out, they were not a transformed people. The transformation came when Jesus came to this earth and defeated the power of sin and death. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on all flesh. But in the short term, the Lord is telling Micah that the Jews will be delivered from captivity, and later through them, Jesus would come into the world, who would redeem and make His people. In the long term, this means God moving through this church to gather people to our community like Alexandria Brown. We did a memorial for her, a funeral for her a few weeks ago. This is going to kill me. I got a phone call this week from Pastor John from St. Paul's Lutheran Church. And a few days before Alexandria, for those of you who don't know, Alexandria Brown was a 29-year-old girl who lived in central Dubuque there, Jackson, somewhere close to what, 24th, 23rd Street?
22nd.
And she had been struggling with substance abuse. She had been struggling with drugs and alcohol. She was struggling with sexual stuff, weight loss stuff. She was struggling with new age, you know what I'm talking about, that new agey kind of stuff. And then she also had a Bible, and she was highlighting all this stuff in her Bible. And then she just walked out of her house, and she just sat in the snow and left this world. Nobody held her hand or anything. And I thought I was over that, but then Pastor John, he called me out of the blue this week, and he said to me that that young girl, she had walked over to St. Paul's one day and asked to be baptized. And don't fall in love yet. You know, we don't know what was going on with that situation or not. You're not saved because somebody puts water on you. However, I can't but believe that God was working on her life. And if there was just somebody to go and share the gospel with her, what might have happened? We can't think that our whole world is just in this room and that this is just some social club that we're a part of, but that God, His word is pouring out on people, but they don't know what to do with it. And it's not their job. It's our job to go out and be His spokesman in this world around us. Thank God for Emmaus, going out to Comiskey Park every Saturday, going on prayer walks that we ought to be participating in. It's about having an eye on the present and an eye on the future, knowing that we're in a bad situation now, but there is a future for us in front of us. Micah says in verse 8, "And you, O tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you shall it come. The former dominion shall come for kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem." What a powerful revelation that God gave his prophet. He had seen his share of kings, many of them not so good. The rulers of the country just preying on the people, just like it is here in the United States. The priests were corrupt. In Hezekiah's time, actually Micah's, Hezekiah's, Isaiah's time, they had this Passover. It was so big it was a big Passover celebration, but there weren't enough priests who were ceremonially pure. They were so corrupt that there weren't enough priests to do the job. So they had to get Levites to help. Levites were like the people, like if you came in today, there was greeters and ushers, people on the stage for the band, people on the audiovisual team back there. That's Levites. Right? In Hezekiah's time or Micah's time, they had to have people helping out the priests because there weren't enough of them. They were just corrupt. The prophets were a bunch of fakes. But Micah saw a time when the Davidic kingdom would recommence. He says a kingship for the daughter of Jerusalem. Micah saw a day coming when the scraps of his people would again be favored, and that helped him deal with the pain of the current time. You and I live in a time where this country can't get to hell fast enough. Every sort of lifestyle apart from God's way of living is vaunted, glorified, and front and center. Even people who call themselves believers and evangelicals worship a person rather than the creator of this universe and the captain of their salvation. Our slide, it's so bad that people who hunger for God and hunger for spirituality are not so hungry that they come back to church. That ought to tell you something. It ought to be, it's an indictment against God's own church. To have an eye for the present and an eye for the future means we return to Jesus, who is our first love. It is He who transforms us with the certainty of our future with Him. And it's He who helps us overcome in this life. No matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you and He's helping you to overcome. Brings me to my third point. Because of the certainty of our future with the Lord, we overcome in this life. We overcome by keeping our head up. Yes, keep your head up. Your adversary is doomed. In verses 8 and 9, Micah is shown a vision of his people going into captivity in Babylon. There's a bad situation coming in front of them. But from there, they'll be set free. You can read more about this in Isaiah 48, in chapter 44 and 45. God brought his people back. In short, even though they were going to be disciplined, they were to hold their heads up. You ever had somebody tell you to hold your head up? I remember one time in this church where I was growing up in, I was constantly battling depression. I love the Lord. I listened to preachers on the radio all the time. I pored over my granddaddy's Bible, highlighting scriptures just like Alexandria did. But inside, I was raging in depression. I would go to the altar. In those days, I didn't grow up in a Reformed church. These steps that go up to the platform in our church, they called that the altar. And we would go to the altar. I would go to the altar every single Sunday, almost every Sunday. Just crying out to God. But then one day, my pastor just comes down. He stands me up. He holds my hands up. He tells me to put my head up and begin worshiping the Lord. Sometimes we just have to acknowledge that the Lord is bigger and greater than the brokenness in our life. He's bigger and greater than the depression that you're fighting. And because of who he is alone, he's worthy of your worship. He breaks through to your heart and mind through his word, causing you to drop all the weight that you're carrying and turn to him with the full expectation that he will give you the desires of your heart. He will wipe away the tears of your eyes. So hold your head up on that day, because you're highly favored. You are. I want to close with this. Your spiritual enemy is doomed. Micah saw a time coming when the enemies of God's people, who surrounded them continually, would be gathered like sheaves of wheat to be consumed. The other day, this is not a good thing. I'm just going to tell on myself a little bit. I got rid of some old grass and burnt them. And they went up pretty fast. Micah saw a day when God's people would be victorious over her enemies. Her enemies, you would be blown away. Your enemy is not a person. Your enemy is not any political figure. Your enemy, it's not any flesh and blood person at all. But you do have enemies, real ones. Your flesh and Satan together seek to pull you down into the mire, like the prodigal son who competed with those pigs for pods to eat. Some of you are trapped there and you don't even realize it, or you do and you don't know how to get out, just like Alexandria. But Jesus, who came to this earth and died on the cross, was buried, and has risen again from the dead. He forever defeated sin, death, and the grave, and he's stronger than your flesh. And as God, he's certainly stronger than your adversary, the devil, who continually, like a lion, seeks to kill you. 1 Peter 5:8. Like Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3, who stood there dripping in sin, and he was condemned. Satan, his adversary, accusing him before God. And the Lord said, "The Lord rebuke you, O Satan. Is the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you? Is this not a brand plucked from a fire?" You and I are brands plucked from the fire. If you've turned from your sin to Christ, believing he died for you, was buried for you, risen again for you, and that you stand forgiven, you are a brand plucked from the fire. But there's other brands still in the fire out there outside these walls. As you have freely received, freely give. Your life is proof that God's promise to this whole world flows out from him, causing people like you and me to flow to him. And though we look forward to the ultimate fulfillment of this new heavens and new earth, we keep an eye on the present, fulfilling his word, or having his word fulfilled in our lives and the people around us. This is something that God does. This is not something that you're responsible for. It's something that you do because you're children of God. We respond to this certainty in how we live our lives, how we wait for his return, and how we overcome in this life. Amen. Please accept this last encouragement from Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.